Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Special. This is going to be episode 33 of our Sunday series. My name is James Fisher, and I am joined today by our longtime listener and my buddy Jake. Why don't you say hello to everybody?
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. My pleasure for having you, and we're going to be talking today all about The Legend of Heroes, and we're going to kind of focus on the Cold Steel series as we are getting super hyped up for Cold Steel 4. As of this recording, we are 10 days away. Jake, what is your hype level? Is it even measurable right now?
It's definitely through the roof, that's for sure. I don't think I've ever been this anticipated for any one individual game before.
I don't think it would be possible to, just because, you have sequels to games, but in terms of telling a story, four games in the making, it's the only equivalent is like a trilogy of movies that have come out before. I've never really done anything like this before in gaming.
Yeah, you don't see this kind of stuff. To get a series that goes this long, that's encompassing so many games. And yeah, the hype level is definitely, it's off the charts. I've got a week booked off work. Not the week it comes out. Not the week it comes out, because I was expecting delays. Uh-huh. Just, shipping it through the mail, which we'll get to.
Yes.
But the following week I've got off. So as long as it comes in time for that.
So you've taken the Japanese route of taking vacation when a major game comes out.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. A proud tradition. I've actually never done that for a release. I've never, I guess, as once you get the family involved.
I had the time to burn at work. It was use it or lose it. So I figured, all right, well, I might as well use it now. I had to use it by the end of the year anyway. So.
That is awesome.
It's not like the family and I can go anywhere with everything that's going on. So.
True. I mean, we got away a little while ago, but I guess it's a little bit different down here. Where do you care to say where are you located?
I'm in Illinois. Okay. Just outside of Chicago.
I thought that
they cracked down pretty hard here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the bigger cities. That seems to be the we're down here in the South, not as many people, it's not as big of a need for it, I guess. But yeah, it's gonna be a different world up there.
Things are getting worse here. Yesterday, they just announced that there were twice as many confirmed cases as the day before. And
wow,
it's like a 4-month high. So
yeah, I mean, it's now we're getting into flu season, change of weather.
That's what they said. But yeah, That's what our genre is for.
It is. So we don't need to leave the house anyway.
Nobody ever got sick by sitting home playing JRPGs.
There's a lot of things that you can get that way, put on a couple extra pounds, you could get some other bad habits, but yeah, leaving the house is not... Yeah, we don't have to worry about so many things. It is a solitary endeavor, and
that's what the backlog is for.
That is exactly what it's for. I mean, I know I've cleared out a few of them during this time, so, and I'm sure you guys have.
Absolutely.
So what? You don't have to tell your age or anything like that, but this is a lifelong passion for you as well. JRPGs. Kind of talk about what got you into it, if you don't care.
Yeah, I'm 32, so I think I'm a little bit younger than you.
I'll be 4-0 next year.
I wanted to note that, because one of the things that got me into JRPGs was the Pokemon series, which I know you said you're not a big fan of.
They're not a big fan, as being generous with it. So yeah, that's okay.
And I think part of the reason for that is when it came out, I was, I was a young kid, whereas you were a little bit older.
Exactly.
I think the way we viewed it kind of really shaped the way, felt about it. It was the same thing like we were talking about Chrono Trigger.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everybody said it's one of the greatest games of all time. I just played it through to the end for the first time like a year or two ago.
Oh, wow.
It's a solid game, don't get me wrong, but when you look at it just from a 30,000 foot view, it seems pretty basic.
Well, yeah.
The story's great, the characters are great, but like the complexities and all that, I mean, it just... fight, you level up, you gain some skills, you fight some more. Not as much customization as you see even like in its sequel,
right?
Or in the Trails games,
mm-hmm.
So that was one of the Pokemon series was big when I was younger. think even before that, one of the first things I can remember getting was for Christmas was Star Ocean 2,
Oh, cool.
which is why that is at the, you know, that's the top of my list, at the top of the list, you know, along with some others, of course. I mean, I really hope we get a port to the Switch like we did with the first one
I can't
for
imagine
that
it's not.
game.
It's got to be coming.
I'm surprised that we haven't gotten it already. I mean, you know, it shouldn't be that difficult to do. It's the first game that was ported is it's just basically the PSP version, which I have and I've played, so I know that, you know, they're the same. And it's just porting it, you know, just like the second game on the PSP from one system to another. So I'm surprised it's been over a year now and we haven't even heard anything.
It is a bit surprising, and I like I said, I can't imagine it's not at least on somebody's list of, things to do. It can't take that long, you're right. But that's funny that you mentioned that. That it's totally how old you were when these games came out, what you were into. Yeah, by the time Pokemon comes out, I'm almost a teenager, and it's like, yeah, that game's for kids. Hence
Yep.
why you probably liked it so much, because you were, 7 years younger. That's exactly right. I play Chrono Trigger when I'm 14. It hits me at just the right time. You played it when you're, playing it at 14 or playing it at 30, it's going to be a completely different experience.
Absolutely. It brings back that nostalgia feeling. I mean, right now you look at the new games coming out. I mean, Final Fantasy 16. I'm not getting a PS5 for just for that. So, you know, I mean, technology is leaving me in the dirt. So,
Well, by the time
you
it
know,
comes out, you may have one just by default. I mean, it's going to be a while.
maybe we'll see. I mean, JRPGs are really the only genre that I'm into. So, until we get two or three for the PS5, I mean, I'm not going to drop $500 just to play, you know, Final
Oh,
Fantasy 15 Part 2.
yeah, that's an easy way to look, or even 14. It's totally 14 meets 15 in a lot of
Yeah, seems
respects.
like it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's, like, I've seen, you know, I've watched the trailer and I've seen some YouTubers breaking it down. The story looks really good. Story for 15 looked really good, but I played the pocket version of 15 just so I could get through the story, which was enjoyable.
Wow.
Story's really good.
It had a lot of potential. It just got way derailed. It was a game that changed into a different game that it should never even been made that way.
I mean, I like the turn-based RPG type stuff. The Tales of series is really the only series that I, you know, action-based series that I really like.
Okay. Besides Star Ocean.
But I mean, that Star Ocean's so simple, you know.
It
It's not
is.
like 15 was just, you know, it's too much. It's just not my type of game. If I wanted to play an action game, I'd go play God of War or something like that. And it's just,
So that you said you only play JRPGs, you don't play the God of Wars or anything else?
no,
Okay.
yeah, just JRPGs.
That's a I've not heard that before. I even, myself, that's my bread and butter, but I love playing a good action or a occasional racing or sports game.
Yeah, not I me not so much. I mean, I played some sports games when I was younger. I do like the Lego series.
Those are
Like
fun,
Lego
yeah.
Star Wars was a lot of fun, especially when I was younger. Got a 2-year-old daughter, so you know,
Okay.
when she gets a little bit older, you know, hopefully that kind of stuff will be appealing to her. It's pretty easy to learn and pick up, so you know, it'd be a good place to start her.
It absolutely is. My girl just turned, well, not just number, she's six, and we've been playing through Lego Harry Potter, and she loves
Oh
it.
yeah.
So, and
I've got that. I've got that
that
one on the Switch.
yes, you look forward to that one. That is a good time, because I'm a huge Harry Potter fan anyway, so it's fun for me irregardless. But of course, we're getting off track. That's what we always do here on these Sunday shows. We go down rabbit
Right.
holes. That is just the way it is. That's just speaking overall, what is your Legend of Heroes experience? I know, obviously, we know you played the first three Cold Steels. Have you played the Trails in the Sky and or the Crossbell ones?
I have played Trails in the Sky, the first and second chapters.
Okay.
I did not play the third. It's only on PC, and I don't generally play games on the PC. And then I haven't played the Crossbell arc.
Okay. So that's we're in the exact same boat then.
Yeah, but I did want to mention that if you're in the same situation, which I expect a lot of people are, there's a YouTuber called Lady Virgilia. She has a YouTube series that has story breakdowns of all three Trails in the Sky games, both Crossbell games, and Cold Steel 1 and 2.
Wow.
They're long videos. They're broken up. Each of the Crossbell games are broken up into four videos each, so eight total. Each video is about an hour long, give or take, although I think the last one's almost 2 hours.
Wow.
And then Sky the Third was the same way. I watched the videos for all of those just so I could get story, info on the story. That was a great way. I mean, it's better than nothing, right?
It is, especially with, the Crossbell ones not being localized or having to go through, as Jordan described perfectly, all the hoops you have to jump through in order to play those games on your PC. It shouldn't be this difficult to go back and play the lore, because now, especially with, it started in 3 with all the Crossbow characters showing up, and 4 we're going to get all the Trails in the Sky characters showing up. And the stories are converging. You really needed to know this whole experience. You're right.
Yeah. The Crossbell arc specifically. Mm-hmm. Sky the Third, I mean, from what I understand, what actually happens in the game as far as world progression is not as significant as the other games.
No.
There's right. so much background lore that you get out of playing that game that most of us are going to miss out on if we don't have a chance to play it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I found just by looking around online, do you remember Bracer Annalise?
Of course.
From the Sky series?
One of my favorite characters, that her, Estelle's rival, quote unquote, right?
her grandfather,
uh-huh.
she mentions a couple of times, is Reen's teacher.
Oh, his, oh gosh, Master, whatever.
Master Yun?
Yeah, really?
Master Yun Kafai. Yeah, she's a disciple of the Eight Leaves Blade School, and that's her grandfather.
That is beyond interesting. Yeah, that's never fully, I mean, obviously you could, if you played them all, you'd probably figure that out, but that's awesome. I'm hoping we run into him. I'm hoping we run into him finally in part 4. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I kind of doubt it. I remember hearing you say that in one of the podcasts. I don't remember if it was a Sunday special or a regular episode, but you were saying in Cold Steel 4, you think we might meet the Grandmaster.
That'd be
doubt it.
Now that I say think about it now, it is kind of a doubted situation too.
There's so many parts of the Society of Ouroboros that we don't know. And there's like 8 enforcers that we've never even met.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
I mean, and I know we're going to talk about other parts of the series later on. So I'll leave the rest for that. But
okay.
And I think a lot of it is going to be for other arcs.
Yeah. I mean, it's what it kind of seems like. I was surprised as I played through Sky, how many of the Ouroboros that I was like, I figured it would be characters I've already been introduced to in Cold Steel. No, they're completely different. And like I said, we've not even met a couple of them. We've got all the Anguis they're going to. But yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more in case we didn't mention this already. The first half, we're going to be talking more general. We'll take a break. And then the second half will be spoiler-filled potentially. So we're doing our best here, but it's going to be kind of hard not to get into too many things. Let's go to Cold Steel, though, and that's where I really want to focus, because we got part 4 coming up. You just played back through part 3 again, is that right?
Yeah, I actually played through, since the pandemic hit, I've played through Sky 1 and 2 again, mm-hmm. and Cold Steel 1 and 2 again, and now I'm just about done with my second playthrough of Cold Steel 3.
Right, so you got a couple more days. I think you were telling me in the break that you want to plan it just right so you wrap up 3 as far as hitting our grubby little hands.
Yeah, I'll probably finish it either tonight or Monday. So I'm not going to quite make it.
Okay.
I've been dragging my feet to get this, the final chapter, just to get it to last a week. So, I can't let it last forever.
But you're doing a good job of it. So you've played it through twice now. Obviously, the second time through is a little bit faster because you're not needing to, you know where you're going, all that good stuff. Would you agree with me that Cold Steel 3 is the greatest Legend of Heroes game so far?
I would, but again, I never played the Crossbell games, and I hear a lot of people say that Ao no Kaiseki, the second Crossbell game, is the best.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's certainly the Cold Steel 3 is certainly the best that I've played.
Okay.
But obviously, I can't compare it to Ao.
I've with speaking with Jordan, I get the impression that he liked the Crossbell ones better than Trails in the Sky even, and I thought those were amazing. So I can only imagine how good they really are. But I just feel like when you, especially when you talk about graphics wise and gameplay wise, they just got everything so right with three. And obviously at the time they couldn't do much about the graphics, but they've made some pretty big leaps just in the Cold Steel games alone.
Yeah, I mean, and you can definitely tell the difference between Cold Steel 1 and 2 and Cold Steel 3.
Oh yeah.
I mean, playing Cold Steel 1 and 2, I've played them on the Vita and I've played them on PS4, and they look pretty much the same. Cold Steel 3 is worlds better.
Yes. Yeah, you can tell
I mean,
it's
that's just a progression of the time.
Yeah, I mean they did what they could. I mean, yeah, the first two Cold Steel almost feel more like Vita games even than PS3 games. They're nothing pretty. They did a really decent job with up-resing at the PS4, but yeah, you see that huge leap with 3, and I don't think there's that. I think part 4 is going to be pretty much like 3. I don't think we're going to get any terms of big leap in this one though.
Yeah, they had some gameplay footage that they released on one of their Twitch live streams, I think, and I didn't want to watch too much of it, but the graphics look pretty similar to three, which is a good thing.
No, I'm completely fine with that. I'm not expecting anything. I just want to finish this story and see how it all really wraps up. I'm curious, we'll go back to Sky for just one second. Did you like Sky first chapter or second chapter better?
Second chapter for sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, the first chapter was great, don't get me wrong, but it focuses so much on building up the characters, which I really enjoy. The second chapter just starts throwing in all the antagonists and things are happening so quickly. I mean, it's just so much more action in the second one
It
from
is.
a story standpoint.
I felt like they were very similar to Cold Steel 1 and 2 in a lot of ways. Obviously completely different, but like they kind of followed the same formula to a certain extent. And
And I think the Crossbell games did that too.
okay.
From the videos that I watched on the Crossbell series, the first one, Zero no Kaiseki, spends most of it just building up Crossbell, building up the characters, getting you invested in it. And it ends on a cliffhanger, just like Sky, the first chapter, and Cold Steel 1 and Cold Steel 3. And then the even numbered game is all action all the time, and you get your story resolutions.
Yeah, and
Seems to be kind of the way that they're going, which is the formula's working great. I mean, I was expecting a huge cliffhanger at the end of Cold Steel 3. That's exactly what we got. Knew I was going to have to wait at least a year for Cold Steel 4. And it's not like when I played Sky, the first chapter, there was a huge cliffhanger and I'm like, oh my God, this is it?
Yes.
I didn't know anything about the series. I knew there was a sequel, and it took forever to get localized. It took like 4 or 5 years
Oh
after the
man.
first one got localized.
Ah.
That cliffhanger was brutal.
Yes.
No, but that seems to be the formula that they have, and it's working pretty well. So I'm glad we're going to get a resolution in Cold Steel 4. I don't know much about Hajimari. It seems to be its own standalone arc.
Yes.
So I don't think we'll get a huge cliffhanger at the end of that one. I think that's more just It's its own game. It tells its own story that, you know, which of course I believe has a lot of characters we already know in it.
Yes.
I mean, I've been avoiding Hajimari like the plague because it's going to spoil everything for Cold Steel 4, and I don't want to see that.
Yeah, that has been so tough. To cover it at all has been – there's no way not spoiling certain things. But yeah, you are correct. It's on its own. It kind of wraps up.
You're definitely falling on the sword for the rest of us by reporting that stuff and taking in the spoilers that you have.
I appreciate it. I don't mind doing it, but yeah, it's kind of stunk a little bit. If we could have played 4 already, it wouldn't have mattered. But they just and NIS America just takes so long getting this thing over here.
I mean, I think that a year from Cold Steel 3 to Cold Steel 4 is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
The game has been out in Japan for 2 years.
Yeah.
And we've gotten another game released after it. I mean, you know, if we would have been able to play Cold Steel 4 on August 1st,
yes,
we could look up anything we wanted for Hajimari because that didn't come out till the end of August.
That's
now
all.
When we get done with Cold Steel 4,
mm-hmm.
we can't look up anything for Hajimari because the game will have been beaten. And
yeah.
Anything we look up is going to be a spoiler. So.
I mean, I don't think that's asking too much. Now, obviously, this game has so much dialogue. It's got so many voice-acted lines. So you kind of understand a little bit. But, yeah, 2 years is pushing it. I mean, look at their...
I get it. I get it.
But, just, you know,
I look wish at their... they would...
Go ahead.
I wish they would... when they start the next arc, I wish they would go for worldwide releases.
That'd be great.
I mean, Cold Steel 3, I think it did wonders for the series. Everybody who I've seen is the game has loved it. And I've seen so many more people buying it. I see all kinds of questions posted on different Twitter or Reddit or whatever. Can I start with Cold Steel 3?
Mm.
That means it's attracting a lot of new fans, you know?
It is, yeah.
If they do pick up 3, they're probably going to go back and get 1 and 2 because those are easy to find.
Yes.
And then depending on, you know, how you know, what people's means are, they might be able to go back and play Sky or Crossbell or whatever. And I think 3 has done a great job promoting the series.
It definitely has. I mean, it connected so many people. I know I was a little on the edge about them putting 3 out on the Switch without the ability to play the first two. I thought that was an odd choice, to say the least. And it's kind of the inferior version of it. To begin with, but if it brings in new people and it gets them into the series, I think that's always a plus. It's doing things that no other series is even trying to do. So all building towards getting more Cold Steel people. That's been, you know, since when I started the podcast, nobody even knew what Legend of Heroes was. So we've come a long way in a couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. Agree.
I know one answer to this, but who are your favorite characters? You can keep it to Cold Steel, or you can kind of go all the way back. That's fine.
Well, my favorite from Cold Steel is Fee.
That's your girl.
Which is the one I know that you already knew about.
Yes.
I love Estelle and Joshua from the Sky Arc. I really like Agate.
And yeah.
When I played Sky, I never used Tita.
Okay.
But I fell in love with her in Cold Steel 3. I think her personality is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm a big fan of her. Those are my main ones.
Okay.
I like Laura. I really like her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's, you know, she's a lot of fun to use in battle. So, I mean, that who you like in battle is really going to kind of gear you towards who you like overall. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Playing through it a second time, I really started to like Milliam.
Okay.
Because of what happens at the end of Cold Steel 3.
Something happens. I don't know. But,
playing through it a second time, you can, you know what's going to happen. So you kind of, you know, you're more into her arc throughout the course of the game. And it really, we can talk more about it when we get to the second half, but
okay.
I really like Toa. I like Alfin.
Okay, yes, yeah.
The Princess. I think, you know, again, Cold Steel 3 ending spoilers, but I think that she is a perfect candidate to lead the country,
Yeah, me too.
whereas her brother is a rotten little, you know, her little brother, her older brother. I like a lot.
Oh, yeah. We got to distinguish the two brothers there.
The little one can't stand him.
No, he has no redeeming qualities.
Not so much.
Laura is such a unfair character because you can just make her the strongest character ever.
You can do that with quite a few people. Fee's another one. You can break the game with Fee.
You absolutely can, and I think it's almost unfair. I still do it with Laura, but it's funny you mentioned Tita. I used her more than I thought I would in second chapter, and she's amazing with that. Or her basic attack, attacks multiple people, and you can really make her stronger than you would think because she's just a little kid. But I found, and her healing ability with her special skills, I was like, yeah, I kept her in there probably way more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I played both times I played second chapter, it was right after I played first chapter. And by the time you get her in first chapter, she's one of the last ones to become to add to the roster. So you already know the ins and outs of the game. She just felt underpowered in the first one. And when you finally get the entire group and you can pick your party, she always got left out. I didn't use her. I just didn't like her. I think I stuck with Oliver and Agate and Estelle and Joshua. And then when I played second chapter, I think I stuck with the same party.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's you still got to have, your tank, you still got to have your healer, magic person. The same formula goes, there's a couple differences, and I thought they did a much better job in the second chapter of being able to really make whatever character you wanted out of them. Because I used Charizard a lot as a magic, just heavy magic person. But she could also go just as strong, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another one of the reasons that I like Fee. I think she's very similar to Joshua's build.
Yes.
I really like the way Joshua played in first chapter, especially because in second chapter you don't get him till
Spoiler alert.
In first chapter, you know, he's got a lot of similar abilities to the way Fee plays. So when I played Cold Steel 1 for the first time and I see a lot of the special skills that Fee has, and you know, the orb mint slots that she has, or you know, there's time and wind that you're locked to, and those really set up towards the same build that Joshua had. So I think that's another one of the reasons why I liked her even before we started to really know who she was.
Oh yeah, their
Then when they
background's
started
similar, yeah.
to develop her character arc, I mean, I thought her character arc was fantastic. You know, she becomes a bracer. She's got a direct relation to, you know, one of the major antagonists, or who we
Yes.
assume is an antagonist. You never really know. They
Not really
switch
sure what
sides all
his
the
deal
time.
is, yeah.
You know, I think she's got one of the really the better character arcs out of the original Class 7.
Only thing I don't like about Fee, by the time you get to part three, she pretty much is sporting a mullet. I could do without
Yeah, well, that's true. She does have she's got the long hair in the back.
that. That's the other thing that irked me to no end, because yeah, I mean, she's so fast. She attacks twice for every other person. You can easily just destroy people with her, especially if you pair her with someone like Laura. They go hand in hand so
And
well.
if you give her the evasion,
Oh man.
nobody hits her. Oh, you can give her a quartz that'll let her counterattack with like 600% damage.
Yes.
She can break the game easily.
That's what I did with oh, what's his name of the two swords in three. Yeah, Luke.
Hurt.
Yes, I put that on there, and yeah, you couldn't touch him, and when you did, he would destroy you with a counterattack. That game was beyond breakable.
It's a little tougher to do my second time through because I'm playing on hard mode.
Okay.
And you know, the next time I play the series, I'll do Nightmare. This time I did hard mode through Cold Steel 1, 2, and 3. You know, in 3 especially, it's a little harder because the brake gauge is higher.
Okay.
You know, their defense is higher, so they take less brake damage.
Mm.
So I've been focusing more on brake builds than anything else.
Yeah, you got to, it sounds like.
Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, if I really wanted to, yeah, I could set up their quartz and their accessories to where they'd be totally busted. And I might do that before I go and fight the final boss. But, you know, throughout the main game, it's not necessary because you're so over-leveled from carrying over your progress. I have noticed there's definitely, you got to put a lot more effort into to trying to break them than you did before.
That makes sense.
You know, that's a new mechanic to Cold Steel 3, so
yeah,
it's a lot different than 1 and 2 was.
I didn't love that when it first started, but you kind of understand what they were doing with it, and it's okay.
You know what? My second playthrough, I've really enjoyed it.
Okay.
It adds a lot of strategic depth, even through a second playthrough. Otherwise, you could just blow right through the first 3 chapters without even...
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah, carrying over your stats, of course.
So it really adds a strategic layer of combat that I think is pretty cool.
So you mentioned you up the difficulty. That's not something I ever want to put myself through. I'm just not that kind of guy. What else?
Well, hard mode is not, it's not that hard. If you're doing a second playthrough.
Yeah.
You've already got the best accessories. You've got the best quartz. And you're so over leveled. The first 3 or 4 chapters of the game are a cakewalk.
You probably need it. You probably need to be on hard to be anything.
So I haven't worked up the courage to do Nightmare. I didn't want to go straight from normal to Nightmare.
Man.
So I'm saving that for a third playthrough.
In a couple years.
You know, through my second run, I've been kind of preparing for a Nightmare playthrough. Been focusing on getting the best weapons, the best armor, the best quartz.
Oh, okay.
I leveled all my master quartz up all the way. So nice. I'll be ready to go for a Nightmare playthrough. Generally, I'm with you, though. That's not something I enjoy doing. I don't want to be banging my head into a wall. But I really want the platinum trophies for these Cold Steel games.
Okay.
So the Nightmare trophies are the only ones I've got left.
I was wondering if there was that motivation for you or not, because that seems like the only one worth doing is to get a trophy for it.
Yeah,
I mean,
plus on Nightmare, it'll be a lot more fun to see what ways can I break the game, where, you know, I'll get a much better sense of accomplishment if I'm able to break the game on Nightmare. You know what I mean,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I see a lot of people say even on Nightmare it's no challenge. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but those are the people it'll that played. Those are people that played on hard mode to begin with. I don't want to put myself through that.
When I start Cold Steel 4, it's going to be on normal. Uh-huh. I want to enjoy the story. I want to build up my inventory. And the second playthrough will up the difficulty. But that'll be a while because I've put in probably about 500 hours closing in on Cold Steel 1, 2, and 3 combined.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably conservatively speaking.
Could be, yeah. I mean, I'm sitting at 186 total on Sky the Third. So wow. I didn't go back and look at my hour times from first and second on Sky the Third, Cold Steel 3.
Yeah. With multiple playthroughs on multiple systems, I'd say you're being way too low on that number.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time, but it's worth it because it's so much fun.
Yeah, I haven't felt bored by it. Not 1 minute, so.
Not at all. So I think we want to get into some topics, and I don't know how spoiler they're going to be, but that way we don't have to hold ourselves back at all. So let's take a pause right here, and we'll be back. So if you guys want to end it now, completely understandable, just keep in mind anything after the break, we're going to be talking a few things that might ruin your experience for Cold Steel 4 if you haven't already played the first 3 games. But yeah, we'll have a quick word from Anchor, be right back on the other side of episode 33 of our Sunday special with Jake. All right, everybody, welcome back. If you are still listening, that means you are ready to have spoilers talked about potentially. So one thing that absolutely was coronavirus related that's affected this game is the voice acting for it. I don't know if yep. you're in on the voice actors probably more than I am, but so we already knew Chancellor Osborne, he's got a different voice actor.
I didn't actually find that out until like 2 days ago.
Yes. When that first video came out, a bunch of people commented on it that it sounded like it was a different voice actor. And I just thought maybe it was just different, like a different sounding line.
It was just one line that just sounded different. I mean,
but yeah,
a lot of people thought, you know, oh, is this the same guy? Is that the same guy?
Yeah. But
to me, that is not on NIS America.
That is not. You're absolutely right.
I think they did a great job getting the voice actors because Estelle and Joshua are the same voice actors that voiced them in the Sky Arc.
That's crazy. I love that.
They went way back. Yeah, I do too. I think that's terrific.
Yeah.
But it's not like NIS said, oh, we don't want to go through the problem of getting these people. They went through the problems of getting as many as they could.
Yeah.
There's four characters that I know of for sure that have changed.
So we got Osborne, Laura.
Right.
They said that McBurn was, but then I saw something else that he actually wasn't.
I believe both McBurn and Lecter changed. McBurn and Lecter had the same voice actor.
Right.
And that voice actor has changed.
Okay.
I don't know if both McBurn and Lecter have the same voice actor again, just a different person. And I don't know.
I'd hope so.
I did hear that it was a different guy.
Okay. So that's the four that we know for sure, which stinks, but it's like, you know, what are you going to do? Like they couldn't work.
I've seen like, there are people who've already gotten their English copies.
Oh, wow.
So that's actually how we confirmed that the voice actors had changed, because someone had gotten their copy. They beat the game already and posted screenshots of the credits.
That's
of
it.
The voice actors.
Yes.
That's how we knew they changed.
Okay.
And from what I saw on his post, Laura actor was good. She did a good job of bringing the old sounding Laura back, and you know, it's not the end of the world. Same thing with the McBurn and Lecter actor.
Yeah.
I heard the Osborne actor was a disappointment. Not because he was bad, but because the old Osborne was his presence was so overwhelming when he was on screen.
Yes.
It's hard to top that guy or change him without there being a significant drop off in the way the character feels.
Just think of the way that he speaks. Like, it's so different. His sound is so different. There is no way they could have found somebody to do that job again. That was
no. And I think the other voice actor who I was really impressed by was Rufus.
Okay.
His voice actor, I think, is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the character. The guy's a jerk. His voice actor is fantastic.
He is.
Now he's the same guy, so I'm happy about that. But
okay.
Osborne was second to Rufus. And to lose Osborne, I think that really hurts.
It does. And I obviously won't know, because and it couldn't have happened at a worse time, because you know how big of a presence going to be.
He's the major antagonist in the fourth game. So,
yes.
Yeah,
finally.
Like, I really want to stick it to that guy in Cold Steel 4, and now it's going to be like I'm sticking it to a different guy. It's not going to feel as satisfying when you finally give him his comeuppance.
No. That was one thing I thought was really cool too, is when I played through Sky, they did mention him. He's in Crossbell. So this is an overarching character that's been around for a while. You've been wanting to stick it to him, and now we're finally going to get some sort of opportunity to.
We think.
I mean, as we learned in 3, he's not going to be so easy to kill.
He might be immortal. Who knows?
I don't know.
People come back from the dead all the time in this game.
No kidding.
He's actually one of my biggest cons to the series as a whole is that nobody who dies really seems to stay dead.
Nope. Not at all.
And I think that's kind of a negative. be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, and I've already had a couple things ruined that people who you thought were dead are back. You mentioned a certain character at the end of 3 who you spent some time in, and all you gotta do is look at some box art, and, well, there she is. I'm troubled by that.
The only person who I think stayed dead, was Luve. Weissman from the Sky Arc.
Oh, well, did you see how he died? Weissman. I mean, you get turned to stone and then into dust. You don't come back from that so easy.
Yes. Kevin turned him into salt. And then Campanella blew him up.
That was the most satisfying thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. And then I don't think Luve has ever, there's ever been any hint that he's still around.
No. If you
look closely, I think it's in Sky the Third. Maybe it's at the end of second chapter. I don't know. But Estelle and Joshua leave his sword, mm-hmm. the grave in Hommel.
Yes.
When you visit there in Cold Steel 3, the sword's still sitting
there. It's still sitting there, yes.
Thought that was really cool.
That was cool going back, you know, and playing. I was like, oh, that scene. That's why that means so much. That's why Hommel means so much. I was like, I do wish that truly I could have played these games in order all the way through, but there's been some cool moments playing it the way that we have.
And that's one of the benefits of a second playthrough is knowing what's going to happen. You make these connections when you see them happen again.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. I can't recommend a second playthrough enough if you can afford the time.
I would say when you got an extra 100 hours laying around to do it.
Well, hey, like I said, that's what the pandemic is for, right?
I don't know if you're like me, you haven't taken a second off because of it, but just because of not as many new games coming out, that's more of getting a chance to attack the backlog. But
that's exactly true.
I was working pretty much remote anyway, so nothing changed one bit in my life. Just meant I was home a little bit more often. But
I'm definitely home more. You know, the 10-hour days have turned into 8-hour days.
Yeah.
And then you know can't really go too many places after work, so.
Yeah,
sitting here in a man cave racking up the hours on Cold Steel. That's what a lot of it is.
That's it's definitely been a change. And but what? Oh, I just thought of another voice actor. I thought I'd heard changed was Duvali, but
I did read that as well. But I believe they said that the person whose name was in the credits, Cold Steel 4,
mm-hmm.
it's the stage name of the person who voices her in the rest of the series. So
I see.
They have said she's the same person.
Good, so. Good. Cause that's one of my favorite bad guys. So I'd be sad if they changed her.
I can't stand her.
In the best way. I love her, right, you know?
Right. Yeah. Her and Yuna have that whole, Estelle and Annalise rivalry going on.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm looking forward to finally sticking it pretty, you know, because you fight these guys from Ouroboros at least 2 or 3 times each game. They keep popping up. You can never really defeat them. Maybe finally we'll start getting some bad guys knocked off. I don't know.
I doubt it.
I do too.
I doubt it. I mean, at least the Ouroboros guys. I mean, we might get, you know, some of the bad guys who are centered to Erebonia.
Yeah.
Because that arc is ending. The Ouroboros, they're way beyond the Erebonia arc.
They're everything,
They're going to be the central antagonist for the entire series for however long it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
You won't see them go quickly.
No, they're not going anywhere. And I mean, like I said, we've not even seen a couple of them. But yeah, they'll be in Hegemari, and they'll be in the next game, the next everything. They're not going anywhere.
Which I love, because I find these I think Society of Ouroboros is the most intriguing antagonist I've ever had in any game.
By far.
Yeah.
like it's not even I don't even know how to what to compare it to. I mean, if you want to say something like Organization 13 and Kingdom Hearts, where it's, you know,
that's another good one.
Yeah,
that's another good one.
Luckily, not all their aims start with X, so you don't get confused. But at least they have, you know, names I can remember. But yeah, each one's so different and so despicable in their own way. But then they do something weird and like do a good deed for 1 minute, or like Blue Blanc. I mean, can you really hate the guy? He's bad, but he's not that bad. And,
Yeah, I don't find his character particularly all that interesting. I think he's more annoying than anything.
Oh, absolutely.
But then you've got two enforcers, Joshua and Ren.
Yep.
On your team.
Yeah.
So
that's saying something. Yeah, that was a whole, I love that Ren whole arc in the Sky. That was pretty cool.
So you said you did not play Sky the Third, right?
I didn't. So in theory, I don't know why she actually did finally become a good guy, that they adopted her. Because it says in the credits, so, you know, that she's Ren Bright now. So
yeah, her background is explained more in Sky the Third.
Okay.
Is so tragic and so dark.
Hmm.
Really is worth watching, seeing, you know, looking up YouTube videos. If you're not going to play the game, especially before Cold Steel 4,
yeah,
finding out her background is it's a huge payoff. I mean, her background is so tragic, it's heartbreaking.
They kind of hint at it a little bit in second chapter, a few, but to know the full story and then what happens, that would probably be one of the few things I'd want to truly know without playing it, because I don't have time, but
her backstory is it's tragic, it's heartbreaking, it's very dark. It's not kid friendly, that's for sure.
Most of their paths are not kid friendly at all. So that doesn't surprise me.
To see her as a little girl, it's tough, especially when you have a daughter.
Yeah, that's the thing that's going to be tough for me. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. So, okay, what besides finally sticking it to Osborne, what are you looking forward to the most in 4? Obviously, it's concluding the series and everything like that.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to seeing Estelle and Joshua again.
Yes.
I missed them a lot. I like I said, I haven't played Crossbell. No, they were a big part of Hiro no Kiseki.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see them in that.
No.
So I haven't seen them since second chapter. I'm really looking forward to seeing them back. And then just seeing the way that the arcs come together, the way they pay off. Seeing the Erebonian arc come to an end,
mm-hmm.
what that conclusion is going to look like. Now, like I said, I don't think we're going to get answers to everything because this story is nowhere close to over.
No.
One of the things I'm really looking forward to that I think we will finally get an answer for is Reen's ogre power.
Uh-huh.
Where does that come from?
What is it? Yeah.
There were a lot of hints in Cold Steel 2 and 3 that his power is very similar to McBurn's.
Very much. Well, he even says it, that they're similar. Yeah.
So I don't think it comes from whatever Osborne did with his heart to save Reen's life when he was a kid. I don't think that's what it is.
You think it was in him already?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I don't know. Would McBurn have been the person who was born with it?
Who knows?
No clue. Yeah. No idea. I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
There's so much.
I've heard Cold Steel 4 has been described as the Avengers Endgame of the Trail series.
It seems that way.
So, I mean, I can't wait.
I don't know. I don't, from what I understand, is like you're not going to get all three arcs and be able to like choose a party from them. I think they do kind of stay separate to a certain extent. Like,
do they?
Okay. That is my understanding, because I don't know. I think in Hajimari, that's when you get to choose all of them, per se, and make a party. So
It was really because I was really hoping to put together my personal dream team, which would be Estelle, Joshua, Reen, and Fee.
Oh my god!
That's what I wanted. That's what I want. I want at least one boss battle. I can go in and wreck it with that team.
That would be crazy.
I'm hoping we get something like that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, since we're talking spoilers, how long is it going to be till we can play as Reen?
Yeah, that's a good question. If you watch the trailers, Class 7 is fighting against Reen.
Yes.
At some point in the game.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's towards the beginning, because I really wouldn't care to spend the first half of the game looking for him.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to a certain extent, but yeah.
Personally, I'm hoping that's the prologue.
Okay. That would make sense.
If you look at the timeline, Cold Steel 3 lasts about 3 months.
Uh-huh.
From the beginning of the game to the end of the game.
Yeah.
It's about 2 weeks between Cold Steel 3 and Cold Steel 4.
Okay. So they're tracking it
down. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they've been unconscious for 2 weeks. Who knows? We have no idea.
Well, however,
the entirety of Cold Steel 4 lasts a month.
Okay. That's interesting.
So Cold Steel 3 ends in the middle of July, picks up the beginning of August, and ends either the end of August, beginning of September, something like that.
Okay.
So it's kind of similar to how Cold Steel 1 and 2 was. One spanned several months, and then two was a handful of weeks, something like that. So see, but I'm hoping that it's not, we're going to spend first half of the game looking for Reen.
I hope
I hope we get more characters in our party than just the original Class 7 and the new Class 7. Like, I'm hoping they throw some Estelle and Joshua.
That would be
Lloyd in there.
That, because there's the one trailer that kind of shows Estelle's group and it shows Lloyd's group together. So I kind of think they're going to be a big group, and then you're going to have Class 7, new and old, as another group. And, I mean, I love Reen, but I feel like I could make a pretty solid team without him, at least for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure we could.
And I can't. I would love to see the Estelle, Joshua, and I'm not even playing with the Crossbell people, so that'd be a lot of fun to mess around with those guys too.
Yeah, well, we did get to play as Lloyd in the second chapter.
That was so weird. At the end of Cold Steel 2, yeah.
Chapter, Cold Steel 2.
Yeah.
So you got to play with them during that little intermission.
Mm-hmm.
But if you bought the accessories at the beginning of the final dungeon, which were insanely expensive, so you probably could only afford one on your first playthrough, you could change one of your characters in battle to play as Lloyd.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There were five characters, five accessories. You could play as Lloyd, play as Crow, and I believe Crow had his dual saber.
Nice.
When you got to use him.
Okay.
So any of the guys could turn into one of them. The girl could turn into Risha.
Mm-hmm.
You got to play with in the intermission.
Yeah.
They could turn into Vita.
Oh.
Or Altina.
That's I didn't even know that was an option. No.
Yeah, so if you, I think it's just one of the save point shops. But you can buy accessories that'll transform your character who wears them into those characters, and it only works in the final dungeon.
Huh.
So now they're incredibly expensive. So I mean,
that might have been why.
I played the second time I played through, still wasn't able to afford them all.
Oh gosh, just a couple.
I played with Lloyd Crow, I believe.
That would be kind of fun to try out Crow with the dual sabers, yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, anyway, going back to whether or not how long it's going to take to find Reen. And NIS America did a Twitch stream to promote Cold Steel 4.
Mm-hmm.
They were showing some gameplay.
Yeah.
And the part that they showed, and I turned it off pretty quick because I didn't want to see too much.
Yeah.
They showed Reen waking up and thanking the Class 7 members for finding him.
Yeah.
I doubt that's halfway through the game.
I doubt it. You see, that's it. Yeah, prologue, that sounds about right.
Like, you know, when movies show preview trailers, they usually don't show you what's happened halfway through the movie. You know what I mean?
Occasionally you get some weird ones that show spoilers even, but yeah, that's it'd be hard not to with this one, and that would make the most sense to have him back and back on the team. And wherever they're going in a new airship to get there, so that'll be interesting too.
Yeah, and I think, and it sounds looks like that airship gets transported by magic. It just
Ooh.
teleports around. At least that's what I saw from the gameplay trailer they showed.
I didn't know that. Maybe they're
Yeah,
using
but
the
once they
spirit
yeah,
veins or something.
that's yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah, once they
Well,
started showing dialogue and stuff, I turned it off because I didn't
I'm...
want to. Yeah, I didn't want to see any of the spoilers.
No, it's hard. It's been extremely hard to. I think they've actually done a pretty good job of not showing too much because it's difficult. Like, at the end of a trilogy in a movie preview, there's only so much you could even show, really. And this is very similar. So we talked a bit about our favorite characters, and I think you hit on a little bit, but who are some of your least favorite? Let's talk about like good guys. Who do you just never use and don't even want to think about?
As far as good guys go, I
Yeah.
would say in Cold Steel 3, I never really cared for Muse. I
Okay.
got a little tired of her hitting on Reen act because, you know, I have the feeling that if Reen had had Ash's personality and he turned it around on her, she'd back off pretty quick.
Oh yeah.
Got a little tired of that.
Okay.
I never really used her. I did, you know, and then to find out that she's one of the four you have to use in the final battle, I was like, oh, really? I never used her before. Now I got to gear her up and everything. I made it work. She's got some pretty good crafts.
Yes. Her
Her
mat.
Brave Order is fantastic.
It's
You can totally break the game with her Brave Order.
Yeah, that's why I used her a lot.
But yeah, I'd never really used her up to that point.
Okay.
So,
I
and then
loved Muse.
some of the other ones, the boring members of Class 7 that I
Yeah.
mean, I didn't really like them in the first and second games. Didn't really change much in the third. Elliot, God bless him, not so much. His background is not, it's not very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, his dad's a general in the war. That's about it. That's all he's all you got to say about him. Akias was another one.
Terrible.
Yeah. Little more interesting than Elliot, but not by much.
No.
The first two games, Gaius's background was not very interesting. I never used him.
Okay.
Really picks up in the third game.
Oh, yeah, it completely changes.
I think they did a really good job with him. And in Cold Steel 1, Emma's backstory was there was no backstory. She was terrible.
Well,
I think
yeah,
that's
they
the worst background
couldn't.
secret.
Yeah.
So I mean, and I was totally fine with that after finding out who she is, you know, and everything. And again, if you go back and play Cold Steel 1, you'll pick up on a couple of things here and there where
Oh,
there's
yeah.
definitely more to her.
It's let some things slip from time to time. It's hard not to.
Right. And you pick up on those more now that you know, having played through the entire series, you kind of pick up on that stuff. So that's why a second playthrough was really a lot of fun.
It's almost mandatory with these games that you should definitely try them out. So I loved Muse. I used her as my heavy magic person when I had to. She could just be as powerful as Emma would in terms of magic. So if you did it right,
Oh, yeah.
you can't use Machias. He's the worst. Elliot, he's
Actually,
got.
with Machias, he's got a craft you can pop off at any time. Where, Sarah's Brave Order, it brings everybody's turn right up front.
Yes.
Machias has a craft that does the same thing.
Oh, okay.
And you can aim that craft wherever you want. So if your other party members are close enough, you can accelerate all their turns right up front. There's a definite game-breaking mechanic that you can use with that too.
Wow.
I didn't because I never really used them until that fight with the Iron Bloods. At that point, Laura and Fee were already gone, so I'm like, all right, well, I got to bring this guy in.
Yeah.
Or him or Elliot.
Good grief.
So I found that craft when I was playing it, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's really cool. So, yeah, other than that, he was kind of boring.
He's, you know, he has the default healing abilities, but if you just take canon and put it on a different character, they're instantly the same person. So he's just useless. Now, if you couldn't change that, you might need him a little bit more.
I think that's even more true in Cold Steel 3.
Yeah, having the two.
while the canon quartz is all healing,
mm-hmm.
doesn't really, you know, like if you were to throw that on Muse as her only quartz, that doesn't really give her much offensive ability.
No.
That you can set it as a sub quartz.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to give her any other healing.
No.
Because that'll take care of the entire role. And then you can pile everything else on to make her, you know, an offensive mage.
There you go. That's so, I mean, she was a red mage in all in her glory there.
Exactly.
She was amazing, but. Yeah, I think that's typical. So that's all your good guys, and we talked about the bad guys that we're looking forward to sticking it to. Is like McBurn so strong that we can never truly defeat him?
You know, I like that character. I think there's definitely more there. I think there's definitely a connection, maybe not between him and Reen specifically, but their backgrounds. I think there's got to be something there. There's definitely a connection with that ogre power.
Got to be. So I'd like to see that.
As far as other antagonists go, the ones I can't stand, especially after the ending of Cold Steel 3, can't stand Sharon.
Yeah.
Can't stand Claire. I can't stand George.
George.
Yeah, Copper Georg. Any of those three try to weasel their way into my party, I'm going to change their costumes to bath towels. Let them sit out there.
That'd be so great. Yeah, I hated that so much.
When Sharon and Claire both betrayed us to take up arms against us in the final, I was like, you know what? Forget these guys. I'm never using them again.
No. And I loved using Sharon.
You know, I never did.
Really?
I never really cared for her or Claire, either one of them in battle.
Yeah.
I was never crazy about Sharon's character either. I liked Claire's character until the end of Cold Steel 3.
Yeah, she chose her side.
Yeah, so she's dead to me. Sharon's dead to me. George.
Oh, my God.
That Weasley little guy. When I saw what happened with him and Angelica.
Oh, man.
I felt so bad for Toa. Because I knew that when Toa found out that that's what happened, it was just going to break her heart.
She shot him. She didn't even hesitate.
So George is dead to me. Claire, Sharon, forget them.
Well, I mean, George seems like he's going to be pretty easy to kill. But
if they try, like I said, you know, there's a lot of people who switch sides all the time. If they try to weasel their way back into my party, I am not going to use them.
No, and you know they will. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
They got what's coming to them. I can't wait to see Laura and Sandlot, or, you know, them kind of finally going at each other, because that seems like that's an interesting story.
That's
going to
be
there.
That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. And how Laura's going to react. Like, I think she was sad, but it's like, I really expected her to deal with the loss of her father more than that. Like, just
well,
lose
we'll
it.
See. I mean, we don't know, because the game ends on that day.
Yeah. So, that'd be interesting to see how that, because that man, that was of all, you know, they excel at the shocking cliffhanging endings. Like, that was something I never saw coming in a million years.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see if they're really dead. I sure hope not. Most of the other characters who die are not dead, so see what happens. Like, you never saw Angelica die. It was just
nope. I have a feeling she's not, for some reason.
So do I. I don't think she is either.
I don't know, you know, they certainly implied that she was, but
yeah.
Just like with Ayrton.
I mean, But then again, they certainly implied that Crow was dead too.
Well, he was dead, but I guess he wasn't.
I mean, apparently, if Osborne can cut out his heart and give it to somebody else, why can't everyone else? You know?
No. And I think we're going to figure out a lot of what's going on in this one with the Black Workshop and what that's got to be involved with it somehow. And
how about the leader of the Black Workshop being Elisa's father? You're going to need the dump button again for that one.
I need that one for myself. I've not had to do that one before, but good grief. I mean, how could you?
I
don't get it. That's one I didn't understand at all.
Yeah. Oh, he's an antagonist that's easy to hate. But yeah, as far as other antagonists that, you know, it really gets to you. For me, it was Sharon, Claire, and George.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about the arc with Laura and Arian Road.
Yeah.
One of the ones that I'm interested in to see what happens is with Fee and her father.
Yes, the Jaeger King.
Because you remember when we were in Raquel and we played cards against him, Fee wasn't there. But nope. While the party got to talk to him, Fee did not.
Yes. That was interesting.
So I want to see what happens there.
And he's one
he
of the.
He was supposed to be dead too.
He was supposed to be dead, and he comes back, and he's got a.
he's got a divine knight too.
I was going to call it a Gundam for a second. That's not. Yeah, he's got his own divine knight, and there's still one divine knight that we've not seen. Is that right?
I believe that's correct.
Okay.
So if you look at the in-game deck records, one of them lists all the knights.
Okay.
The Vermilion Knight, which is the one that Cedric uses.
Yeah.
There's the Azure Knight, which is the one that Crow uses.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Ashen Knight, which we know that's Valimar, that's Reigns.
Yep.
And there's the Argent Knight, which is the one that Sandlot uses.
Okay.
There's two other ones that they list, the Palatinate Knight and the Auric Knight.
Okay.
So I'm going to assume that those are the ones that... uses and Osborne uses.
Yeah.
But there's one left. We don't know what the knight is. We don't know who the Awakener is.
Hmm.
So
that's beyond again, interesting. And maybe it's somebody we've not even seen yet.
Probably. If I had to guess, it's somebody we know. My guess would be the leader of the gnomes.
Okay. That would make sense.
I have no idea.
Or what if it's like some wild card, like somebody in the church? I don't know.
But you know what? There's no guarantee we'll find out in Cold Steel 4 because it could be something that's, you know, that Divine Knight could be somewhere in Calvard and we won't hear about him for 3 or 4 games from now.
Yeah, that's obviously, you know, we're going to talk a bit about where it's going. You believe the next series is headed to Calvard?
Necessarily.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, everybody thinks that because Calvert is the biggest country that they talk about.
Yeah.
But you could have an arc in Northumbria.
Yes.
You could have an arc in Artaria.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you mentioned Kingdom Hearts before. Remember Kingdom Hearts when they did 358 Days over 2?
Yeah.
I think what would be really cool would be an Ouroboros arc.
It would be beyond awesome and a good spinoff, of course.
I mean, I don't know if they would jump into that right away because I think that would, you know, pull the curtain back on everything they're hiding. I think that would be really, really cool.
What if they, yeah, after all this is said and done, if they go back and, like, you see from Ouroboros from the very beginning, like, to the beginning of Sky and all the way through all their dealings on that end and you fighting all the good guys then, that'd be crazy.
Yeah. If you pay attention to those battles, you never really beat any of them.
No.
More often than not, you're the one hunched over saying, "Oh man, those guys are strong."
Always.
So it's not like they couldn't get away with that.
No, you rarely did they like, "Oh man, that was a good fight. All right, let's get real now." And you're hunched over, nearly dead.
Right. Like I said before, I've been avoiding everything I can for Hajimari because I don't want it. I want to limit the spoilers that I'm finding as much as possible. So I don't really know where that takes place on, you know, as far as like geographically on the continent. But after that, I don't think there's a guarantee that it moves to Calvert necessarily.
I think the only
thing one of the things.
I said the only thing we know is where it's not going to be, you know, the locations we've been to before. I think it will be a new one.
Yeah, I would too. And that's what I was going to say. So they haven't done this in the past. I kind of hope that they don't do it this time. Something that they could do, they talk about the disaster in Northumbria with the salt pail.
Oh, yeah.
How it was annexed into the empire. We never saw any of that stuff.
That would be beyond
awesome.
They could
go back. Yeah, they could go back in time and tell that story. Again, I kind of hope that they don't because we already know what happens.
Yeah.
I would rather them do something as, you know, in the future. But it would be cool to play.
What if
with Artaria, if they did an arc that shows Gaius's progression into one of the dominions.
Yeah.
Again, that would be going back in time. So, yeah, I kind of hope they don't do it. But it's something that could be done.
Without playing the third chapter, isn't that kind of what that is? They go through the doors and it's kind of like different events in the past.
Yeah, but yeah, it is. You get a lot of background. Like I think that's where you get Ren's backstory.
Okay.
That's where you find out that Annalise's grandfather is Reen's teacher.
Okay.
I think, but I'm not 100% sure. I think that's where you find out that Lecter and Chloe are connected.
Oh.
They both went to school together. Lecter's from the Genis Royal Academy.
Yes. Yes.
I could be wrong on that. That could have come up in Crossbell during the trade conference. So I'm not 100% sure that that's accurate.
Okay.
That's where you get a lot of that stuff. So yeah, maybe, and you know what? Maybe they did something like that in Hajimari.
It's I know they do some, they call it the True Reverie Corridors or something like that. And I think that's, but I don't know if that's telling old stories or if it's telling more current ones. So I don't know. That's possible. Yeah.
And I certainly don't want to look it up.
No. And that's why I just told you the name of it. I will leave it at that. Cause it's a whole big mess of things for sure. But, well, we kind of touched on the lore a little bit. Was there anything else you kind of want to throw out there? I think we're getting close to wrapping this thing up.
Yeah. I think, you know, just another benefit of playing through it a second time is you can understand so much better what happened previous to our characters' events, even in Sky. Like the Black Records go through the War of the Lions. It goes through how Arian Rode found her knight. It goes through what happened when the Dark Dragon took over the capital and kicked everybody out. But they fought their way back and all that stuff. And yeah, you read it the first time you play through it, but you can really make a lot more sense of it after playing through the game a second time. I must have read the Black Records 3 or 4 times by now.
Wow.
On my second playthrough alone, just so I could try and get my head around everything that's going on. And, you know, like Ouroboros's true goals. What do they really want? I wasn't really able to wrap my head around it until playing it again. What they're really after are the Septarians, the 7 treasures of Adios.
Yes.
And, you know, exactly what those are. And, you know, there's 2 of them that are a pretty big deal in the Cold Steel arc.
Yeah.
But there was another one in Crossbell and another one in
in Sky, yeah.
The Sky arc. That means there's 3 more we haven't even seen.
We're getting there.
So, yeah, I mean, and I don't think we will see them. I don't think we'll see anything about those until another arc comes about. I don't think you'll see anything about the Aetherian of Wind, Water, or Time, Cold Steel 4.
That's
anything about them at all.
That's one of the most impressive things to me is you've got a story bigger than any story that's ever been told in pretty much any video game, just in what you play in the games. And then you got the Black Records telling this history of the world that they live in.
You could make another arc out of all of that.
You could. They have enough material to make five generations worth of games. Easy.
And I mean, you know, it's just, how long are they going to go telling this story? You know what I mean?
As long as we keep buying them. As long as they keep the formula.
When you compared it earlier to Kingdom Hearts, that's actually a pretty good comparison, because Kingdom Hearts takes place over so many games.
Yeah.
But I get the feeling with Kingdom Hearts, like, I want Kingdom Hearts to end. The story's getting too hard to understand.
Yes.
And when they didn't end it in 3, because I thought that they were going to. When they didn't end it at 3, I was disappointed.
Me too.
I don't feel that way at all with the Trails series.
I can't even begin to try to understand Kingdom Hearts, and I don't want to. I just think it's convoluted and kind of silly. But with
I thought Organization 13 was really cool. And I thought, okay, you know, we'll wrap that up in Kingdom Hearts 3 with them. But then they just went on so many tangents. That's what Tetsuya Nomura does. He's doing the same thing with 7 Remake.
Yeah.
Things he's doing in there, I can't even begin to follow. It's not that hard to follow in the Trails series.
It's not. You gotta do a lot of reading, but it's not that hard to follow.
Oh, and it's very interesting. So it doesn't feel like a chore to go through and read most of these books. Some of them are a little harder to read. The novels you collect.
Yeah.
About the game that you usually turn in for a weapon or something.
Yeah.
Those are a little harder to read. But that's usually because they're foreshadowing things that haven't been told yet. And, you know, if you don't already know who these characters are, like when I replayed the Sky Arc and I was collecting the Carnalia books.
Yes.
you find out that that's really about Tovall.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It made it easier to read second time.
Or the witch books. Yeah.
Yeah, Red Moon Rose was very tough because those were really, really long.
Yeah.
But then find out that that's about Rose. It's a little easier to read, but not so much. Those are a little hard.
See, I didn't read those, but knowing.
I didn't read any of those books on my first playthroughs.
No. But if I'd have known they were about an actual character, I would have at least been more enticed to do that.
I think if you played it a second time, you would definitely want to read it, just because now you know who this character is, get a little background information on her, it'd be a lot more interesting than would if you just thought it was some throwaway novel about somebody you didn't know.
Oh yeah, and your second time through, you're not needing to pay as much attention to the story because you already know it, so you'd want to go seek out different story arcs. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the Gambler Jack books. Those are definitely about somebody we don't know in Calvert. So we'll meet that guy eventually.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, Zen is the only person that I know from Calvert.
Yeah, Zen and Killica.
Killica, that's right. And Walter?
Walter too. Yeah. There's actually, you know what? I think it's in Sky the Third. There's a lot more background information on Zen and Killica.
That'd be interesting.
It might be Crossbell. I don't know. One of the two.
It makes sense to be in the third chapter, but yeah, I liked Zen. He was a good guy. I used him a lot when I first got him, and then he quickly got out of there.
See, I found him to be kind of boring.
He was boring.
To me, he was really similar to Agate from a gameplay perspective.
Yes.
I liked Agate better, so I didn't use
it. Agate grew on me very quickly, and he became necessary. All right. Well, I don't know what else we could really talk about.
I could talk about this for hours.
We could. I don't know if people would listen for
hours. Yeah. I mean, there's so much going on with this series. It's just, gotta stop somewhere.
We do, and we had talked about this before, that Here in, let's say, so the game comes out the 27th. Maybe in 2 months from then, we'll have a nice spoiler cast, and I think we'll have a whole different thing to topics to really dive into. So we'll go ahead and throw that out there that here in a couple months, we're going to do a big, giant Cold Steel 4 spoiler cast, which will have, obviously, it'll be tying up a lot of loose ends, we hope. And so people can look forward to us rambling on about that again soon.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody else that, like, I'll be honest, you know more about than even I do. So this has been really fun to pick your brain and kind of get into it. And I hope people have enjoyed it. And I know you'll come back and we'll chat again. Absolutely. About it in a couple months, man. So Jake, thank you so much for coming on, dude.
All right, yeah. Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
I appreciate it. So why don't you send it off and tell the fine folks goodbye.
All right. Well, until next time, get back out there and level up.